over now to David Wells from Curtin University.
So what I'd like to do in my part of this presentation is to give you a brief overview of the structures that are in place to manage, guide and monitor OPAC change and development at Curtin. I'll start off by saying a few words about the systems context in which we operate, and then outline the way in which responsibilities have been divided up among the different groups in the library, summarise some of the principal drivers of change to the OPAC and the main mechanisms that we use to put proposed changes into practice. And then I want to conclude just by quickly highlighting some of the advantages, as I see them at any rate, of the system we currently have in place. So Curtin University Library currently uses the Ex Libris Aleph 500 library system. The previous DRA system was converted to Aleph 14.2 in mid-2002, and an upgrade to version 16 took place in mid-2004. Curtin relies on several of the Ex Libris products to provide different services. So as well as Aleph, we also use SFX, Metalib, and Digitool. The library systems environment is thus relatively consistent in that it depends largely on products produced by a single vendor, but you'll also note that it's significantly different from that of the other West Australian university libraries who prefer Millennium. The model we've adopted for management and maintenance of library systems is therefore broadly similar across the different products that we have. So what I have to say about OPAC will apply more or less to the other products as well. For Aleph, we maintain three separate instances of the software for development, for training, and for production. And in principle, the configuration of the training and production instances is identical and is simultaneously updated from development as required. One characteristic of Ex Libris systems in general, and perhaps the Aleph OPAC in particular, is that they allow for a very high level of local customization. This is naturally a good thing, in that it means, for example, that in principle the OPAC can be tailored quite precisely to the needs of any individual library, but it also implies certain overheads in terms of staff time in order to achieve this, and this is something to remember in terms of what we're actually able to do in terms of change. The main agents in the process of OPAC and OPAC maintenance and development at Curtin are those on the slide. The role of the library management team, chaired by the university librarian, is primarily to coordinate the management of the suite of different library systems products seen as a whole, particularly in respect of system upgrades and their timing, and to pursue specifically strategic matters relating to Ex Libris products, so I won't dwell on that role there. From an operational point of view, responsibility for individual Aleph modules, which are called clients in Aleph terminology, and I may use that term later, which is why I mention it now, has been devolved to the library units responsible for the associated functions. Therefore, the inquiry and lending services unit, for example, oversees the Aleph circulation and course reading clients, and course readings is an Aleph term essentially meaning reserve. The resources and access unit, which I'm currently the manager of, is responsible for acquisitions, cataloguing, and the OPAC. This marks a interesting shift of emphasis from the system that was in place prior to 2005, when the OPAC was managed through the part of the library that was concerned with reference and with information literacy services. And part of the rationale for this change was to ensure that the unit responsible for the creation of the catalogue data, with its specialist knowledge of the way the data was structured, was also responsible for the presentation of this data to the public. The potential disadvantage in this change, that OPAC design might become out of touch with client needs and expectations, was addressed by a series of measures that I will describe later. Within the Resources and Access Unit, the actual work on OPAC development is largely devolved to the librarians of the Access team and to the senior librarian who manages it. This group also works on other Ex Libris public interfaces, SFX and Metalib especially, and coordinates the library website. So it's in a good position to ensure a commonality of approach across the different systems, to harmonize their appearance as far as possible, and to maximize their interoperability. In this work, the Access team is, on a day-to-day basis, supported by the library IT unit, which provides technical advice, completes programming when required, and is responsible for the servers, for the backup, and similar technical mysteries. One source of potential change to OPACs in general comes from system enhancements and upgrade developments from the library system vendors. Ex Libris handles these in two main ways. The first is regular service pack updates to the existing system software. These are often bug fixes, but sometimes also include additional functionality for the OPAC, as indeed for the other Aleph clients. And we may or may not decide to implement these. The second is version upgrades. And of course, with these, you don't really get much choice as to whether to implement them or not. Our only experience of this in Aleph, the upgrade from version 14 to version 16, entailed the conversion of the OPAC from a framed to a frameless environment, and consequently the rewriting of numerous web pages to maintain our previous customization and OPAC functionality. An important supplementary source of ideas for change is, of course, seminars like the one we're having today, and these would typically be analysed and fed into the change process by members of the Resources and Access team. But apart from that, we have several formal mechanisms in place to collect feedback about OPAC performance and design from different stakeholder groups. Library staff have access to an internal issue logging database, which we call TICAT. This system is primarily intended to allow staff members to alert the Access team to any problems or issues relating to library system products, but it's also regularly used to record requests for OPAC development work. The ticketing database allows issues to be conveniently recorded and the different stages of their resolution monitored by both the Access team and by the initiating staff member, and for that matter, anybody else. Client feedback on the OPAC is passed on to the Access team by information desk staff or divisional senior librarians through the same method. There's also a similar system in place called Eclectic, which can be accessed by library clients directly, either through the OPAC itself, there's a link, or from the library website. Those issues, including OPAC development and design suggestions which relate to library systems, are then passed on to the Access team for consideration and action. The Access team also seeks to collect feedback on library systems in more active ways by analysing the results of student or staff surveys, for example, and by conducting periodic focus groups with internal and external client groups. Two particularly productive exercises of this sort have concentrated recently on the OPAC. OPAC work for the major Aleph upgrade of 2004 focused largely on replicating the functionality of the previous version. Once this was completed, a brainstorming session was organised among interested library staff to identify areas for subsequent development and improvement. And this consultative process has led, among other things, to the inclusion of 856 URL links in the brief record display, and to the development of a system to allow users to check the progress of recommendations that they have made through a specific OPAC subset. More recently, the Access team worked with a small group of visually impaired students at Curtin to identify ways in which the OPAC could be made more easily legible from their point of view. And one easily achievable outcome from this exercise was an amendment to the OPAC style sheets to enable them to be more easily scalable. Suggestions for change from various sources come more or less continually. In the first instance, they're evaluated by the Access team and, if necessary, the Resources and Access librarian in order to confirm that they're compatible with existing features or other proposed developments and to assess how much work would be required to implement them. If the proposed change is a relatively simple one to make, then the necessary work may be incorporated into the mainstream operations of the Access team. If, on the other hand, the proposal is for something of a more complex nature or will require substantial testing or extensive programming, the introduction of FRBR, for example, it may be included as a recommended initiative in the annual OPAC report and considered for specific allocation of resources in the library planning cycle for the following year. I mean, other examples of this sort of project include indication of availability status in the brief record hit list, which is not immediately possible within Aleph, and the automatic update of summary holdings information for serials, both of which initiatives are currently in progress. Once it has been decided that work will go ahead to implement a particular change, the Access team will begin to edit the relevant configuration tables in the development instance of Aleph. This may involve fairly straightforward matters of Aleph configuration, or the editing of HTML files and perhaps the addition of JavaScript coding. Complex modifications of this type or any further programming required, use of the Aleph X server for certain services, for example, may require input from the IT unit. In order to allow the Access team to edit relevant files in a controlled manner while restricting full server access to IT staff for reasons of security, a Samba connection has been set up for the Access team to appropriate directories on the development server. When a change has been made on the development instance, and preliminary testing has been done, any significant change is presented to a wider library audience for comment. This is done through what we call the Aleph Reference Group, which is an internal email list containing representation from all the operational areas of the library and from all library sites. The aim here is to achieve sufficient plurality of input from different quarters to ensure that no implications for different types of OPAC use have been overlooked by the Access team. Opinion is sought particularly from the Inquiry and Lending Services Unit on any matters relating to reserve or borrower information, since these are areas which fall specifically under its jurisdiction. Adjustments are made to customization as required until the reference group is broadly satisfied with the result. In case of a difference of opinion, the Resources and Access librarian has the casting vote. Normally speaking, a consensus has so far been reached fairly amicably. The final stage in the change implementation process is the copying of the amended files from the development instance to production, and this is performed by the IT unit. The reference group is often consulted as to the precise timing of this. Relatively minor changes are normally made when they're ready, but more substantial amendments are often delayed until a suitable occasion in the academic year. For example, if a change was agreed which significantly affected the appearance of basic search screens or basic results pages, or which introduced important new functionality to the OPAC, implementation might be delayed until after the end of the academic year in order to ensure that information literacy programs and handouts and so on could be kept suitably up to date. If the introduction of any change requires significant system downtime, as in one recent case when we wanted to make revisions to the indexing tables to improve title displays and therefore had to re-index the entire database, this would normally be postponed to a time when the minimum of students is on campus. The methodology I've just outlined has essentially, with a few minor changes, been in place for about 2 years and has guided OPAC development and change, I think, successfully through that period. So I'd like to conclude just by briefly listing some of what I see as the strengths of the current system. First of all, it provides an unambiguous delineation of responsibilities, with OPAC development clearly in the domain of the Resources and Access Unit. This allows for rapid decision-making when required. Secondly, it's the area responsible for the catalogue data, which is also responsible for its presentation to the public. Knowledge of the possibilities and limitations of the data maximises the effectiveness of search screens and displays. Thirdly, the model incorporates a diverse and flexible approach to the capturing of ideas for change and encourages broad consultation on the ways that they are introduced. And finally, I think the model fosters a climate of continuous improvement in which proposed changes can be assessed quickly and implemented without undue delay. Thank you.